There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's it deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you guys. Welcome into Friday night. A little tiny short Sports Open Line leading up to more Billikens basketball at 7 o'clock tonight. The Billikens, when our pregame starts at 6:45, I should point out, with obviously the Billikens taking on Eastern Illinois tonight. Next Tuesday, it gets real. They get to go on the road at number 12 Memphis. That should be a lot of fun. And again, tonight, you know, obviously a game they'll be expected to win, and they've won the first two against, comparable competition, but they've been using their depth and getting a lot of people minutes, and I'm sure sorting out who's going to be doing what as they go along. But looking forward to seeing how it plays out, and really looking forward to next Tuesday night when they take on Memphis. So that's coming up in a little bit. Between now and then, I have decided on baseball. Yeah, imagine that. We're going to talk baseball in the home of the Cardinals. I know that's just shocking to all of you. Little bit of news to start with, and then we're going to take a look at the National League Central Division for just a bit, because that, to me, is a large part of the discussion when it comes to, you know, the offseason, is who are you competing against for players, and what do you need to do to win the division? I'm going to talk a bit about that as we go along. Now, first up, though, awards. Nolan Arenado was given the Platinum Glove today in the National League as the best overall defensive player in the National League. That's the fifth time he's been recognized with that award, so very cool. Again, not shocking at all. Carlos Correa, by the way, won the Platinum Glove in the American League. But not at all shocking that Arenado wins this award, considering it's the fifth time. And in addition to Rawlings giving out the Platinum Gloves and the individual Gold Gloves, they also give out a Team Gold Glove. And you want to know who won the Team Gold Glove in the National League? Well, that would be the team that had five Gold Glove winners and another finalist. And, of course, that's the Cardinals. It's by no means surprising. By no means is this unexpected at all. It's just funny to have these awards. Because look, I as soon as you post anything like this, as soon as I retweet something like this, you know, you get the responses like, "Well, that's nice, but they really need to win more games than postseason." Like, yeah, no, we know. I know. I don't have to say that every time I tweet something, man. I don't have to say that every time I retweet something. Can we just assume that we all agree that winning more in the playoffs is the goal, and then that other things still good can happen, like other good things are still allowed to be recognized? We don't have to do that every time, but of course it's Twitter. You have to do that every time. And I would say that, you know, there was a funny little on the MLB Network tweet announcing it. There's comments right after it that were hilarious. And I don't make anything out of it. I don't take these people seriously, but it's funny because they were like, "Oh, where's Rawlings located? Oh, they're in St. Louis. Gee, I wonder why the Cardinals won that." I'm like, it's not how it works. I mean, yeah, okay, the Team Gold Glove is awarded because you had five Gold Glove winners. You have nine potential positions and had five Gold Glove winners, not to mention a finalist in Yadier Molina who didn't win the award. But also remember how what the criteria is, like how this is done. You know, it's not that hard to look up, but you know, it's partly done with the Sabre Defensive Index. That's part of it, and obviously the rest is done by the voting of the 30 major league managers and then six coaches on each major league team. So if I'm doing my math correctly here, that's seven votes per team and 30 teams. That means 210 major league managers and coaches voted on this. So, where the company's located probably doesn't matter all that much. But anyway, we all know that this team is a strong defensive team. We know that that's not likely to change between now and next year. And look, they've done this for a long time. This is a point of emphasis for the organization. It always is. And by the way, it's smart to make defense a priority, because defense is, I was going to say, it's kind of cheap. Like, it's about your work. Like, Nolan Arenado is extremely talented, but there are other players in the league that have the same physical skill set that he does, but they don't work as hard at it. They haven't over, you know, basically, you know, his entire career as a professional. There are other catchers that throw as hard as Yadier Molina, that know what they're doing, have the same physical characteristics. They move as well. They're just as balanced. They don't have the attention to detail. And, you know, defense is about that. It is about attention to detail. That's how you get really good. And, you know, I think that it's something that should be. Now, it's not the only thing to consider. I mean, you know, offense is more difficult. Defense is easier. I mean, there's a reason, there's a really good reason why, for example, your fielding percentage is usually 97, 98, 99%, depending on which spot on the field you play. Because when the ball's hit to you, you're supposed to catch it. Like, the expectation is that you're going to make the play. Hitting is obviously a lot more difficult. So that's the news today as far as awards go. Cardinals get the team gold glove. Nolan Arenado gets the platinum gold glove, and we move forward from there. Now, next up, I want to take a look at the National League Central Division. Because, well, I mean, I think we can clearly see that there is a significant opportunity for the Cardinals to gain ground this year, in part because others are giving up that ground. We'll talk about that next here on KMOX. All right, let's get into the Central Division. And I think that, you know, looking ahead towards an offseason and, you know, kind of looking at where you are stacking up against your competition is an interesting way to go about some things. Now, let's start with the Brewers, because I think we can agree that the Brewers are the only other team in the division that are trying to compete this year. And we'll see how much they're trying, because there have been some stories here in the last couple of days that they may still consider trading Josh Hader with just 2 years left in arbitration control this year and next year. But, you know, when you look at their team, you know, Avisail Garcia is not there. He was their best offensive player in 2021. He's a free agent. You know, they've got some contracts on the books that I'm sure they wish that they didn't, like Jackie Bradley Jr. making the third highest salary on the Milwaukee Brewers. He's making $9.5 million. That's the funny part there. It's like, that's the third highest paid player on the Milwaukee Brewers. And then Lorenzo Cain is $17 million. So that's $26.5 million for two outfielders that aren't giving you very much these days. And especially not offensively, and especially not from Jackie Bradley Jr. is a phenomenal defender, but I mean, you know, that's a lot of money tied up in guys that aren't providing offense for a team that needs some offense. When you look at their current starting lineup with Avisail Garcia in free agency, they only have two players projected to hit 20 home runs or more. One of them is Willie Adames. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That's not projected. That's what they did in 2021. Willie Adames and Luis Urias. Now, clearly we know that Christian Yelich could eventually become Christian Yelich again, and they're going to need that. I mean, I don't think there's any other way, because I saw a piece earlier today about the Brewers that, like, the highest payroll they've ever carried in a season was like $130 million. Well, they're at $104 million right now without Avisail Garcia, without that power bat in the middle of the order. Now, they can obviously add some players, but they're not going to be playing. You're not going to be swimming in the deep end of the pool, and they've got some interesting questions. I mean, right now, their cleanup hitter would be Rowdy Tellez, and you know, Rowdy was pretty good for the Brewers after coming over from Toronto. But I mean, he's not exactly a proven dude. You know, Luis Urias again had a solid year, but he's a bad defender, and his numbers were good, not great. You know, that lineup needs a lot of help, needs a lot of work, especially with, you know, Cain making as much money as he did, with Bradley making as much money. Who knows? Maybe there's a way they can find their way out of one of those deals. I don't know. They have some work to do. Now, they have a great starting rotation. They have three All-Stars from 2021. They've got a couple, you know, Hauser's also a pretty good pitcher, and he's not one of those all-stars. So they've got a rotation that will keep them in there. You know, they got this kid, Aaron Ashby, who has been a starter in the minors. We saw him in the bullpen in the major leagues. He's really talented. I mean, he's a lefty that throws mid to upper 90s. He's really gifted. So he could be a part of the pen and increasing their strength there with Hader and Williams. He could end up being, you know, in their rotation too. So they've got pitching, and that's going to keep Milwaukee competitive. But they have big questions on the offensive side. They might be able to save a few million dollars here and there by, you know, not offering arbitration to, like, Daniel Vogelbach. That'll save them a couple million dollars. Probably save a million or so if they don't offer Jace Peterson arbitration. So they have some ways where they could probably save a little money here and there outside of trading Josh Hader. But we know that Milwaukee's going to compete. And while their lineup right now doesn't look very good, I mean, again, their outfield right now is Christian Yelich, Tyrone Taylor, and Lorenzo Cain, possibly Jackie Bradley Jr. in there. And that's not a lot of offense based on 2021. Now, again, Yelich could be Yelich again, but they're really going to need that here in the not-too-distant future. We know Colt Wong's good. We know Willy Adames is good. But that lineup's not very deep, and they don't project to spend very much money. Now, again, maybe Keston Hiura figures something out and becomes the player that everybody thought he would be when he was a highly rated prospect. But again, they're going to be counting on bounce backs. They're going to be counting on people that weren't all that good this year on being a lot better. I mean, losing Avisail Garcia is going to end up being a big deal unless they find a way to spend some money and replace him. But anyway, that's where Milwaukee is. And they're good. I mean, I'm not trying to make an argument against them. I'm actually just saying this is what you're up against. That's the team you have to be better than. I think if you target that 95-win range, you should be able to get there. Now you have the Cubs. And, you know, the Cubs, look, the Cubs started going the other direction in even before 2021. I mean, when they traded Yu Darvish in the offseason, it was very clear what direction they were going. They were not trying to get better. And when you look at their lineup now, there is not much there. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, you know, they've got a whole lineup full of either old rookies, you know, like Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom, guys that are 29, 30-year-old rookies. And look, those guys hit really well for the Cubs last year. Obviously, Wisdom was much more power than on-base or batting average. But again, the power is good. He had 28 home runs and 375 plate appearances. That's awesome. But there's a chance that they could do some things to try to be a little bit better. I mean, they have money to spend. Their payroll right now for 2022 is only $66 million. The question that everybody has is, are they ready to start spending and going the other direction? Or are they looking to maybe move some guys? I mean, you know, Wilson Contreras is in the last year of arbitration control, and he's an unrestricted free agent after 2022. They might trade him. You know, they got Ian Happ, who is only 2 years left of team control. You know, Wade Miley, 1 year left of team control. He could be a guy they flip after claiming him on waivers. Kyle Hendricks has 2 more years and a reasonable price. He could be on the market. I know they'd love to trade Jason Hayward, but nobody's taken the $49 million that he's owed over the next 2 seasons. So the Cubs are not, I mean, they'd have to spend $100 million a year, like $100 million in payroll this year to be competitive. They're pretty far off in that regard. You know, their farm system's not particularly loaded. They don't have a bunch of guys ready to help join the team. The guys that are at the big league level are all basically 29, 30-year-old players that, you know, again, are fringe guys still trying to prove themselves, or, you know, it's guys like Contreras and Happ and Hayward, and we know what those guys are. So, you know, again, the Cubs are probably not going to be good in 2021. In fact, I think it's reasonable to say they're going to be worse in 2022 than they were in 2021, because at least for part of 2021, they were pretty good, and they had some good players. They had Bryant and Baez. And, you know, there was a time there, and Kimbrel, there was a time there where they weren't that bad. And, of course, obviously, then they fell apart and started to sell. Well, they're not going to be as good in 2022 as they were in 2021. It would be an astronomical surprise if they were. And, again, they'd have to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. And who knows? Maybe they will play in the free agent marketplace if there's a guy at the right age. Maybe they do re-engage someone like Javi Baez, who was popular there. I mean, or Chris Bryant or whatever. They might do something unexpected like that, but it won't be enough to make them a competitive team for 2022. They certainly seem to be targeting 2023 and beyond. Now we got the Reds. The Reds have already shown the direction they're going. They traded Tucker Barnhart in a salary dump. They got a minor league player of no significance in that deal. They let Wade Miley be claimed off of waivers. They just let him go so they wouldn't have to pay him a $1 million buyout. And now all of the big national baseball reporters are saying they're going to listen on anybody that's making any money at all. That includes Luis Castillo. Apparently that also includes Sonny Gray. Castillo has 2 more years of team control. Sonny Gray has 2 more years of team control. They both make good money, but nothing crazy. Like, Sonny Gray's only going to make $10 million this coming year and then $12 million on a team option. So, you know, he's really good price for a quality pitcher. So they're not going to be better. They're going to be significantly worse based on their current trend. It sounds like they're listening on anybody that makes money. I mean, you know, Mike Moustakas has been a disappointment, but he probably makes too much money for anybody to trade for him. Eugenio Suarez doesn't make a ton. You know, he only makes $11 million a year, and he makes that for the next 3 years, and he's only 30, and he's got tremendous power. But, man, his numbers were doo-doo this year. He hit .198, and his OPS was around 700. And, you know, again, I think there are teams out there that would probably take a shot on Suarez, you know, make him a third base DH type. And that's not that much money for a guy that can go out and hit you 35 or 40 homers. I mean, even in a crap year this year, he hit 31 homers. So, you know, I think they could end up moving a guy like Suarez. I think Moustakas probably has no chance of being moved based on what he's being paid. I wonder what the team would do and what Joey Votto would be willing to do if anybody was interested in him, because he had a monster year in 2021. And, you know, he seems like the kind of guy that wants to finish with the Reds and play his career out. He's 38. He's got 2 more years left of guaranteed money, $25 million a year. But I think the key here is that the Reds are changing gears. It's very obvious that they are. And, you know, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll change their minds, and maybe they'll move some salary and then add some. I don't know. They do have some decent young pitching coming along. Hunter Green will probably show up in 2022, a big right-hander that throws 100-plus miles an hour. But, you know, they're not a team that's acting like, talking like, or moving like they're going to add anything. And they need to add. I mean, you know, they have some guys that can hit the ball over the fence, but they're a poor defensive team. And, you know, if they're talking about trading some of their pitching, there's not much behind those guys that's ready to help out the big leagues other than, like, Hunter Green. Maybe Nick Lodolo, the lefty, will be there. So the Reds are pretty clearly going in the other direction. And again, looks like they're going to be selling pieces rather than adding pieces. And of course, the Pirates are the Pirates. They have, I mean, this is laughable. They have right now $37.8 million in total salary for 2022. And that counts a team option on Felipe Vasquez, who is in prison. I don't know how a major league team gets away with cutting it this deep. I mean, the most expensive player currently set to be on their roster for 2022 is Brian Reynolds, who in his first year of arbitration is projected to make $4.5 million. That's the most expensive player that's going to be on their team next year, if he's even on their team. I've even seen a couple of reporters mention that Brian Reynolds could be out there in the trade market because his value is never going to be higher and he could net a huge package. I mean, the Pirates are brutal. Now, I like Key Brian Hayes, very talented young man, but other than him and Brian Reynolds, there's a whole lot of nothing right there. There's a whole lot of nothing in that lineup. There's a whole lot of nothing in that rotation. As of right now, their rotation projects as Stephen Brault, JT Brubaker, Dylan Peters, Mitch Keller, and Bryce Wilson. Yeah. That's it. So we know they're going to be awful. I mean, that's They lost 100 games this year. They certainly look like they're at least that bad going into next year. So, you know, they're going to be a 100-loss team. Say, I say 100 wins, I meant 100 losses. They're a 100-loss team. The Cubs were 71-91 this past year, and that was with a team that for at least half the year had Bryant and Baez and Kimbrel and all of that. So they're looking like a potential 100-loss team right now. And the Reds were a winning team. They had 83 wins last year, but if the direction that we're hearing is accurate, they're probably more like a 70-win team. So a lot more wins for the Cardinals and Brewers to fight over as the only two teams that look like they're going to compete for this stuff. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up with just a little bit more baseball before we get to Billiken's basketball on KMOX. All right, getting ready to wrap up. We got Billiken's basketball coming up in let's see here. Pre-game starts in 8 minutes, so that's how much time you have until Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. take over. Game coming up at 7 o'clock against Eastern Illinois. And, of course, from there we get into the weekend. And, you know, we're in an interesting spot. And I just wanted to finish up on a little baseball for tonight, not necessarily specifically about the division or the Cardinals roster or anything like that, but the big picture on labor stuff. And there were some interesting things mentioned today. And I'm spacing out on who wrote it. It could have been Jeff Passan. Actually, it was. It was Jeff Passan on ESPN.com that mentioned that some of the big-name players might be trying to get their deals done before December 1st because they don't want it all to be done in like a week leading up to spring training if the work stoppage lasts until February. And again, we all know what spurs a deal, right? It's a deadline. Well, this deadline at December 1st is not really a deadline. It's more of like a midpoint line. The deadline is opening day. The deadline is getting a deal done so that they can start playing Major League Baseball on opening day as scheduled. That's the deadline. So people are looking at more like early February as kind of like the realistic deadline. All right, we got to get a deal done so we can get people in spring training and get ready for the regular season. And, you know, if a lot of these players are left, I don't want to say left out, if they choose not to want to sign, or if teams just don't want to go big on some of these players not knowing what the financial circumstances, what the structure is going to be of the CBA, well, that could lead to an absolute chaotic free agent frenzy when the lockout lifts right before spring training. And, you know, look, that doesn't mean that people won't get paid. In fact, the frenzy and the immediacy of all of it might lead to like some crazy bidding wars that lead to some contracts and some salaries that are bigger than you would think. I mean, it could go that route, especially if teams feel like the new CBA is favorable to them. But there's the other side of this. Like, if you're a guy like Carlos Correa, and the players mentioned by Jeff Passan were Corey Seager, and it might have been Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander, but I want to say it was a big name pitcher, and it was Corey Seager that, you know, it was Marcus Semien, I think, was the other one, that they're trying to push to get something done before the lockout because you want to know where you're going. You don't want to, you know, find out in mid-February that, oh, by the way, instead of being in spring training in Arizona, I got to do spring training in Florida because I'm leaving the Dodgers to go to the Yankees, or I'm leaving the Blue Jays to go to the Giants, and man, I got to change everything, you know? And I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic here, I think, for the next few weeks, is how many guys prioritize not having to wait until the very last second to find out where you're going to be playing baseball. Now, it's not that unusual, right? We saw Bryce Harper sign super late with the Phillies. You know, we've seen all of that happen before. So it's not like everybody's going to be panicked about that. But it is an interesting kind of thought, you know, that do you want to be making your decision just days before you have to go to spring training? Because that's what it might come down to. And then B, do you want to be in that situation where there's that feeding frenzy where everything has to happen super fast? And does that allow you time to go back and forth and drive up your price and, you know, do that? I mean, I think it'd be foolish to believe that agents and teams and stuff, that they won't be at least, I don't know what the rules are, but I'm sure they'll be texting each other or communicating in some way about potential trades or free agency. I can't imagine they're not going to find some way to communicate to keep it moving. But just another storyline to follow as we get closer to December 1st when the current CBA expires. And, of course, December 2nd is when we're expecting the lockout to be put into place. So just keep an eye. I don't know. Maybe some big guys get moved in the next three weeks. Maybe they don't, but we'll keep an eye on it. All right, stick around. You got Billikens basketball coming up next right here on your home for the Cardinals and the Billikens, KMOX.